Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Season of Sports with me, Asmir Begovic. Well, it's been a while since I've been with you guys. I hope you understand a lot of things have happened with my move to AC Milan, which for me is a dream come true. To play for a club such as prestigious as this and be here with all the people involved. So settling in, getting over here, getting my bearings. Took obviously a few days and a few weeks, but it's been a really great experience so far. And I thought I'd come back with a pod with you guys. So nice to be back. I'm going to talk a little bit of NBA today, a little bit of NFL, a little bit of MLB, lots of things to catch up on. And then, of course, we're going to finish off with the huddle with your questions that you guys have sent in to me this past week. So I always appreciate that, and we'll take it from there. Before I get into everything, I wanted to mention that this episode is associated by my online shop, my online retail shop, where my new glove range, AB1GK, is out. We have some casual gear, so if you want to have a look, go to shop.asmir1.com and check out all our gear. Hope you guys enjoy. Now it's time for us to get into the pod. I'm going to start with the NBA, and I'm going to start with some tragic news. Kobe Bryant and his daughter, Gigi, passed away in a tragic helicopter accident recently. And, you know, just incredibly sad news. That news hit me like a punch in the stomach. Was in shock and disbelief. All the stuff kept coming through for hours and days, and I couldn't take anymore, so I just kind of went away from it and tried to get my feelings. He was an idol of mine, of course, watching sports religiously as a kid. Even now as an adult, Kobe Bryant was someone that I admired. His success, his work ethic, his leadership, everything that he stood for. Then, of course, as a father as well, after his career and everything that he's done from there, was an inspiration to me. So to lose someone of that ilk, I think the world is the worst place without him. So all I can say is prayers and thoughts and everything are with his family, his wife Vanessa, and with his kids left behind. I couldn't even imagine being in that position. So we wish them all the very best. And it must be a difficult time. So he'll be remembered as one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Absolutely. Yeah, there's no way denying that. Just a great person and a great player. And, you know, now it's up to the current generation of players to continue that legacy. But moving on to the recent NBA. As I'm recording this, it's the All-Star break, which is about two-thirds of the way through the NBA season. So you get a good idea as to where teams are, of course. You have to say in the Western Conference, obviously the Los Angeles Lakers looking really in a really good position. They finished off with three straight wins before the All-Star break with a very impressive win in Denver, their last game before the All-Star break. Which is their second victory actually in Denver this season, which goes to show the kind of team they are. Just a great team. LeBron and AD have been incredible this season. Such a great tandem. So, you know, I think if they continue like this, the last couple of weeks of the regular season will be the time when they get to rest their bodies and rest those players and get be in a really good position for the playoffs. And I think that one seed does become very, very important because you want to try and keep that first round series as straightforward as possible. Currently held by that eighth seed, currently held by the Memphis Grizzlies, which, you know, you would expect the Lakers to deal with in four or five games. And then that gives you a really good start to the playoffs. Whereas the other teams, you know, once you go from 2-6 and 2-7, it becomes a dogfight and you don't want to be in any of those series. You know, I think it's going to take a lot out of you. And, you know, I think it's important that the Lakers finish first in that conference. I think in the West, ultimately, the Clippers will be the biggest challenge for the Lakers. I don't think long-term that the Houston Rockets small ball experiment or way of playing is going to work, especially in a seven-game series against the Lakers or Clippers, for that matter. I think the Nuggets don't have anyone to stop LeBron. I don't think the Jazz overall have anyone to stop LeBron. Rudy Gobert is a big rim protector, and that always plays in LeBron's head, but I think overall the Jazz won't have enough to take well, take them out of the playoffs. So I think over a 7-game series, you have to fancy the Lakers. So I think only the Clippers, with the addition of Marcus Morris over the trade deadline, have a lot of players to throw at LeBron. You know, you have Kawhi, you have Paul George. You're gonna have Marcus Morris to throw at him. So you're gonna have a lot of guys. You can test LeBron with, and it becomes a very physical matchup for him, and that's gonna be very difficult. So I think the Clippers are the biggest challengers. The Lakers themselves haven't made any moves at the deadline. We'll see what the buyout market brings. I know they're trying to get Darren Collison in, who decided to stay retired. Whether they bring in someone like Dion Waiters, I would have loved the Lakers to get that secondary ball handler, playmaker, and Derrick Rose. But whether they could have ever made that deal with the Pistons, I don't know. Not sure myself why the Pistons don't buy him out and let him go join a contender. But hey, we'll see. We'll see what happens in there. Moving over to the East, the Milwaukee Bucks, the best team in basketball, record-wise anyway, have that conference very much in control. I don't know the chasing pack. I mean, the Raptors, fair play to them. You sign Ujiri and Masai Ujiri and Nick Nurse, the head coach. What they continue to do with that franchise, incredible. Fred Van Vliet this year, Pascal Siakam taking another step forward, the veterans of Gasol, Ibaka, and Lowry. And just the players that keep coming out of nowhere, the development they have within that organization, I think is impressive for everybody. I think it's something that everyone wants to aspire to. And fair play to them, because they're doing an incredible job challenging in that Eastern Conference. The Celtics, I think, could be a good match for Milwaukee. Kemba Walker, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, those boys seem like a really good mesh. The chemistry seems to be a lot better with the Celtics now that Kyrie Irving has left. So they'll be big challengers. I think the most disappointing team in the NBA so far this season would be the Philadelphia 76ers. You know, they seem to be beefing all the time, seem to be arguing with each other. It's Ben Simmons' team, it's Joel Embiid's team. It's just a mess. You know, I don't understand. In terms of talent, they're the most talented team in that conference, maybe in the whole of NBA. I mean, it's just an incredible array of talent. But how and why they can't bring it all together and put all their individual issues aside and egos aside, you know, it's an incredible situation. Because I tipped them. I think they were my finals pick. I had the 76ers going all the way to the finals. I mean, when you look at that talent, if they can get it right, even 80, 90% right, I mean, who's going to challenge those guys? But they can't even get it 50% right. So they've been incredibly disappointing. So I think it'll be between the Bucks, Celtics, and Raptors in the East as to who will come out of that conference. But we'll see. I got to mention Zion Williamson, enjoying watching him play. He's a phenomenon. I think he's that sort of mix between a Karl Malone, Sean Kemp player. I think as he gets more physically in shape and gets used to the NBA, you know, I think it's been great, actually, maybe this injury this year, so that he's not playing 82 games and he's getting worn out. You know, he's going to play maybe 30, 40 games and get a really nice introduction to the NBA this year and, you know, really kick on in the next couple of years after that. So it's great to see him out there. He's great for the NBA. So, you know, the more better players and great players like that, the better. So that's my NBA take anyway, so far this season. Let's move on to the NFL. Recently, of course, Super Bowl. Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl champions, defeating the San Francisco 49ers in Miami. Well-deserved, maybe the two best teams this season going at it. Fair play to both teams. You know, I think they left it all out there. Kyle Shanahan, of course, maybe with a couple of questionable calls for the 49ers. But listen, in every game, you want to have a couple calls back, a couple things you want to change. You would have done differently, of course. You know, that's the way the sports world works. Every game is like that. So I don't think in one-off game like that, you can blame a coach or anyone too much for doing those things. But, you know, I think you got to say hats off to Andy Reid. Congratulations to him. He's been a trooper. He's been around the NFL for so long. He's been a genius. Such a well-respected guy within that league. To get that first Super Bowl for him, you got to say congrats to him. Well done on an amazing achievement. And, of course, the best player in the game. The best player in that game in the Super Bowl, best player in the league right now, I think, overall, when he's healthy, is Pat Mahomes. This is the new face of the league. This is the player that's going to be for the next 10 years. That guy, the main guy. So well done to Pat Mahomes. You know, I think he's obviously in the third year in his league. He's got another year before, I think, contract talks and situations are going to have to happen. What do you pay Pat Mahomes? Because he's worth every penny. Is he going to be the guy that gets the $40 million a year guaranteed? He would be worth every penny. But is that a way to build a team? Will that team, will Andy Reid and his staff be able to get veterans to take pay cuts to play on that team? I think they will, but the recipe, as you see with most teams, is the quarterback not to be on a humongous amount of money where you can't build out the rest of your roster. And, you know, he's got playmakers, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins. You know, can you get a Sammy Watkins to return for $5 or $6 million a year? That's 50% of what he's making now. But what situation can they create? How can they continue this? But obviously, when you have Pat Mahomes, when you have the likes of Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers in your team, you have always half a chance to win. And this guy is incredible. He's such a humble guy too. He never creates any problems. Well done to the Chiefs. Congratulations to them. And Pat Mahomes, welcome to the big time, my friend. So let's move on to a couple of other storylines in the NFL. Free agency, draft, combines coming up. Lots of things in the NFL to touch on. I'm going to touch on my Patriots. Tom Brady's a free agent. I don't know about all you Pats fans out there, but I'm really concerned that he's going to leave. You know, I love Tom Brady. Love what they've done over 20 years now. But what's going to happen? You know, if Tom Brady wants to get paid, which I don't think is his main concern, I think he just wants a better surrounding cast. I think he wants to be able to throw to somebody except Julian Edelman. And Kill Harry, let's see whether he can progress in that second year, but he needs weapons. He had absolutely no weapons in this past season. Sonny Michel was okay. Rex Burkhead, all those guys, James White. But we, you know, you need more. When you look at the teams that made the Super Bowl, that went far, you had 3-4 receiving options, not just one. You need the pieces. As good as your quarterback is, he needs somebody to throw the ball to. And with the expectations of Tom Brady, you know, he wants the best. But what number is he going to get to? What number is Bill Belichick going to offer him? Because he's always team above an individual. He's not going to give Tom Brady big money. He will rely on team, smart guys, but can he go get a Greg Olsen, a tight end, you know, for Tom Brady? What can he do in free agency? What are they going to draft? You know, it just concerns me, because I also, what concerns me about the Tom Brady situation, Pat, there's some good situations out there. I mean, could you imagine Tom Brady on the Dallas Cowboys? Could you imagine him? Like, he would have Zeke Elliott, that offensive line. If they re-sign Amari Cooper, that defense with Van Der Esch and all those boys, wouldn't that be a Super Bowl contender right away? In Dallas, indoor, Jerry Jones will do anything to get him. And with Dak Prescott, his contract talks seem to have stalled. I don't know what's going on there. This seems to be opening. I mean, Tom Brady goes to the Dallas Cowboys. You put him right in the top three teams in the NFC. I don't care what anyone else says. That concerns me. So the fact that he's going to have options. Tampa Bay concerns me. Could you imagine Tom Brady with Mike Evans? Goodwin? You know, has he ever had, besides Randy Moss, a receiver like Mike Evans to throw to? Bruce Arians, a great offensive mind. Byron Leftwich, you know, as offensive coordinator. Yeah, as much as you have stability with the Patriots, you know, imagine having those pieces. Antonio Brown, what if he gets reinstated? We all know Antonio Brown and Tom Brady like each other. What if Antonio Brown goes to the, you know, Tampa Bay Buccaneers? What do they have to lose by signing him? So you have Evans, Goodwin, and Brown to throw to? How are you going to compete with that? Give him 2 years, warm climate, Tampa Bay. I mean, that's what scares me too, because there's other teams with great weapons looking for a quarterback, and who wouldn't want Tom Brady on their team? You know, and that brings me to Dak Prescott. You know, he's in a position where his contract talks have stalled. I don't know what the Cowboys want to give him, but he can't be paid $35 million a year. That he needs weapons. He needs more weapons than other guys. He's not an elite top five quarterback in this league. He's your 10 to 15. He's a solid guy, great leader, great presence. But there's a certain price. He needs weapons, so you need to pay those weapons. And if he takes up 30 to 40 million on your cap space, there's no way. Are they going to franchise tag him? What's that going to do for your harmony? For your harmony and for your team, you know, for your team spirit? Is that going to be an issue? So I think there's so many questions to be answered there. I mean, another big name, Philip Rivers, San Diego Chargers. Well, the LA Chargers have moved on from him. Where is he going to end up? You know, I could see him somewhere with the Colts if he wants to continue to play. I know he's moved his family to Florida. So maybe Tampa Bay, if they don't get Tom Brady and they want to move off James Winston, will he be a stopgap for a year or two? That's interesting. So there's a lot of free agents out there. You know, what are the Panthers going to do with Cam Newton? Is he healthy? You know, Matt Rule's come in now, new coach, David Tepper, the owner, is making moves, wants to be successful again. So it's going to be an incredible next couple of months. You know, it's going to be so many decisions, so many things happening. And I can't wait to see how it all plays out. Staying with football, we've got the XFL just started. And it's great to see because I think there is a gap in the sports calendar, especially in America now, sort of that February, March, April time. And well done to Vince McMahon for bringing it on board. You know, he's got some great TV partners, which is half the battle. He's got great people behind him, like some ESPN, ABC, Fox, great commentators. There are some voices, well-respected people within sport presenting these games. So that's half the talent, half the challenge for a lot of these new projects. And I think second of all, the best thing that's going to happen to them is that gives them credibility. But they need more talent. You know, it's a league in the first year. Landry Jones, maybe the biggest name, was, you know, quarterback who signed with Dallas. He's played for the Steelers and teams like that. So they need more talent. That's going to come next couple of years. That's for sure. They'll continue to grow. But I think if they have the base, baseline covered with the people on board, with the credibility they have, then I think it's a good step for them. So that's my American football topics out of the way. Let's move on to baseball. Spring training. Spring is in the air. People, baseball season around the corner. Catchers and pitchers are reporting for a lot of teams now and in these days, present days. So I'm always excited for baseball season. My Yankees have obviously done some great moves. Of course, the biggest one there, adding Garrett Cole. You know, that gives you a rotation of Garrett Cole, Luis Severino, Masahiro Tanaka, and of course James Paxton. But James Paxton is injured now. He's out for the next 3-4 months, so he'll be a great addition mid-season, all things being well. So I think with that lineup, you know, you've got Aaron Judge, you have Gleyber Torres, you have Giancarlo Stanton, Gary Sanchez, DJ LeMahieu. I mean, now that bullpen, of course, fierce with likes of Chapman, Brixton, Zach Britton, Ottavino. So, you know, I think it's going to be a great season for the Yankees, and they're going for me as the World Series favorite. Now, of course, recently the Los Angeles Dodgers have acquired Mookie Betts, one of the best right fielders in the game, if not the best, depends on who you ask. The Red Sox needed to get their tax bill down, get their salary down, and weren't sure if they're going to re-sign Mookie Betts, so they were left in a difficult position. Of course, even the Dodgers took on David Price, who I think wore out his welcome in Boston. I think the Dodgers are going to take 50% of his salary, which is, you know, good relief for the Red Sox. And that puts him in a good position because I think David Price is a perfect number three starter behind Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw. I think that's a great pickup for the Dodgers. So I think the two powerhouses at the moment, you know, it looked like the Dodgers and the Yankees. And, you know, we've got to touch on a scandal, the sign-stealing scandal from the Astros. A.J. Hinch got fired. Alex Cora, who was part of that, manager of the Red Sox, got fired. Carlos Beltran was fired. Some of these players, I mean, I don't understand how they haven't been fined or haven't been suspended. I mean, they weren't exactly holding back on suspending the likes of Alex Rodriguez and those guys for, you know, potential steroid use, and they suspended them for a season. So how these guys have stayed untarnished, I'll never know. It's a lot of beef. Cody Bellinger's talking. Carlos Correa's talking. A lot of beef between the players. So it's just an ugly situation for baseball. Another scandal they could have done without. And of course, never an easy thing for sport to get over. So yeah, let's just get the baseball underway. You know, let's get spring training out of the way. There's going to be a lot of these talks, a little beef, press conferences, people addressing these issues. I just want to see some baseball again, and I want to see some good, clean, hard-nosed competition and see where it takes us. So going on from there, I think it's time, guys, we move into the huddle. I got to say thank you so much for getting in touch with us. Your questions go a long way. Make sure you find us on Twitter. Make sure you find us on Facebook. Make sure you find us on Instagram whenever we do these things. So we've got a lot of questions to get to. So let's get started on Twitter. We have the first question from at PD Aquaviva. He asks, does a salary cap system like US sports teams employ produce better, in brackets, define that how you want, results to the unlimited spending of European clubs? Obviously, we're talking about soccer in the UK and Europe. Is financial fair play a reasonable attempt to get that same goal? How would you fix, if at all, the current European football spending model? Well, the only way to fix it is to have salary caps. You know, I think to have salary caps, that gives you what the American sport is all about, gives everyone a chance to be competitive. If you go above the salary cap, you have that right, but you pay a humongous amount in salary, in luxury tax. So that's your only way to try. I mean, the reality in sports is you always have bigger markets and you always have smaller markets. So even in American sports, you know, people want to play in New York, people want to play in Chicago, people want to play in Miami, they want to play in LA. So there's nothing, you can never get away from that. And I think even in the major cities in Europe, you know, soccer players always going to play in London, always want to play in Milan, in Munich, in Barcelona, Madrid, and everything. There's no getting away from that. But if you can create, you know, in each league a salary cap and keep it to the income that your television broadcast deals provide, then I think it gives people more of a chance. Because as you see in basketball, you know, you have the Milwaukee Bucks, the best team. As you just saw now in the NFL, you have the Midwest team in Kansas City winning the Super Bowl. So there is no reason why more teams can't be competitive, and also why you can't get these guys, you know, have more teams competitive and obviously be more equal. So I think it makes better viewing for fans, gives everyone a chance, and I think from that point of view, that would be the only way forward. Next question at Mick727XD. I don't know if you've caught much of it, but do you have any opinions on the XFL after seeing it last week? I'd love to know whether you think it will survive or not. Interested to hear your thoughts on Mookie Betts to the Dodgers. Thanks. We'll never forget the goal versus Saints. So I think we either have a Pompey or a Stoke fan, because those people were very nicely affected by that goal. So thank you very, very much. First question, the XFL, do I think it's sustainable? Can it survive or not? I think it can. I think the biggest hurdle for a lot of these new projects and sports and ventures is the people you have behind you. And the fact is they have the networks behind them, humongous networks, who will fill out their airtime with XFL and will put on people's TVs. And that's going to lead to money, and that'll lead to sustainability. Now, I think that product can grow. You can't expect that product in the first year to be something extraordinary. But it looks competitive. It looks good. You know, it looks innovative. I think there's some new rules that the NFL, I'm sure, will take from them, especially that kickoff rule. Having everyone mic'd up, I think that's a great way, you know, of giving access to the fans and the people watching the game. So I think the XFL is here to stay. I think they have the baseline covered, and I'm sure as this grows, they're going to have more guys coming to play. I'm sure guys are a little bit apprehensive about joining the XFL in the first year. Maybe stars like Kaepernick, Antonio Brown, or these people who maybe should sign to get some reps anyway, just to stay in the eyes of NFL teams, they're just looking to see how this all goes. So I think as the league stays relevant for years, then I think they're gonna attract even better and bigger players. Your second question, Mookie Betts to the Dodgers. Humongous pickup for the Dodgers. I mean, are you going to the last year with Mookie Betts? So they must be confident. And I'm sure once they show him what it's like to play Dodger Stadium, what it's like to live in LA and California, they must be very confident he's going to re-sign. And it's probably a little bit unlike the Dodgers to get a big name, big fish, and pay him huge money. But someone like Mookie Betts, who you can build around, it could be worth it for them. So great deal for them. Great for myself, because that obviously weakens the Red Sox. I think makes it the Yankees division with the Tampa Bay Rays. So you know, I think it's a great deal, but it's difficult. I'm sure Boston fans will be outraged losing Mookie Betts for basically salary relief and David Price and just getting a prospect back. But that's the reality of sports. They went all in the last few years. They've paid humongous amounts of money in luxury tax. They've won World Series, so it was worth it. But when you go all in like that, there's going to be repercussions, and now you have to pay them. There's nothing to say that Red Sox can't go out and get Mookie Betts in free agency next year. But the fact is, they've made some bad contracts. Chris Sale, you know, JD Martinez, they've paid a lot of money to these guys, and they're stuck with them. And, you know, someone had to fall. Mookie Betts was unfortunately that guy for them. The next question we have is from at 2DDSir9. How is Donnarumma inspire you to become a goalkeeper? Well, do you know what? I'm enjoying working with Donnarumma brothers. I mean, Gigi's a phenomenal talent. He's 20 years old, and I think he's going to be the best goalkeeper in the world at some point for sure. And, you know, I have no doubt seeing that on a daily basis now. His brother Antonio is a great guy. So I think we have a great group. We have really good coaches in Luigi Turchi and Emiliano Betti. So it's a great group to work with. Like I said, it's an amazing club to be part of, and I'm here to do whatever I can to help for this team to be successful and get as many wins as we can. Next question, at Milan Obsession. Welcome to Milan. Love the podcast. Thank you very much. Do you think the Lakers will make it to the NBA Finals this season? Do you think the Eastern Conference is more competitive right now? As an athlete and a father, what was the impact of you losing Kobe and his daughter? This is from Elaine. So I'll answer the first question. Do I think the Lakers? I think the Lakers are the favorite to make it to the NBA Finals. I think once the playoffs start, LeBron goes into playoff mode, AD is healthy, that team's together, that cohesion, that team spirit that they have, I think will beat the Clippers. I think they will. And I think the Clippers are also going to get beat up in the early playoff rounds that the Lakers won't. So I think the Lakers are the favorite. Do I think the Eastern Conference is more competitive? Well, I don't, because Milwaukee's running away with it. As are the Lakers, I guess, running away with it at the moment. So the pack behind both those teams is very similar. 2-7 is very competitive in the West, 2-6 in the East. You know, but I think it's the Lakers and the Bucks right now that look on course to meet in the NBA Finals. But like I said earlier, I think the Clippers, biggest challenges to the Lakers, and I think the Celtics and the Raptors, the biggest challenges to the Bucks. So let's see how that plays out. As regards to the Kobe question, guys, I touched on it earlier in the podcast. I mean, just devastating, a blow to the world, a blow to the world of sports. Myself as a fan, as a huge basketball nut, just couldn't believe the news. And I wish him and his family, everyone's left behind, the families of the other victims, all the very, very best. Couldn't imagine what they're going through. So all I can say is my thoughts and prayers are with them. And may they get through this difficult time. So we have another question from BIH Football. By the way, great page to follow for all things Bosnian sports. What is the biggest difference between the Premier League and the Serie A? I would love to hear you talk about that in the pod. Great question. I think the Premier League is a lot more physical in the way that it's up and down, and obviously the tempo is very, very high. But I think the Italian league is a little bit more technical and tactical. So that's a different thing. The players here are very, very smart, very, very tactically astute. So every team is definitely difficult to break down, and every team is very well organized, some great coaches. So I think that's the main difference. You know, quality of players in both leagues is nothing to be argued. You know, I think you can't get away from that. You know, both very, very high quality leagues. But I think just the tempo and the tactical awareness is probably the two little things that I would say are the differences between the two leagues. So, guys, I think it's been a great pod to be back with you guys. I always look forward to it. I'm sure I'll be back with you guys in the next little while to give you some more of my feedbacks on the world of sport. Make sure you listen to us, the Apple Network. We're on Spotify. We're on Audioboom. Do you know what? If you guys want to get to on your parents' phone, just download us, subscribe, like it, review it. I mean, your kids' phones, whatever, it all counts the same for us. So I appreciate it. Appreciate you guys all listening. Appreciate you guys all getting in touch. So That's all for now for me, and I'll be back with you very, very soon.